pale horse. The man who sat on him was death. And hell followed with him.
You're killing me, man.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Declarations of War. I am your very sick co-host, Alexa Eckard, joined by my presumably healthy co-host, Artemis Albosa.
Only slightly tired.
How's I will not be though? Joined by Lave this evening, due to real-life commitments. As you will hear in this podcast, Noir has reformed our somewhat infamous mercenary corporation.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Why so modest, Alec? Somewhat infamous? I mean, we only have the longest-running EVE Online podcast about the corporation.
That's a good point. Even better point, you guys should join us. We're really looking for PvP specialists, people that are veterans, that've got combat experience, and those who have specialized in a particular aspect of EVE combat. Probers, scouters, logistics, bushers. If you're anything but an F1 pusher, basically, you may have an excellent experience as a member of Noir. So, come in, hang out. We've got Cafe Noir, our public channel. And, of course, you can always mail myself or Artemis for more information. Things coming back to EVE, things going away from EVE. Blackout is gone.
Rest in peace. We hardly knew ye.
Oh, God. Why? God, why?
Because everyone left. Well, all the people that we don't like left.
Yes.
I'm being a bit facetious there, but nonetheless.
As we covered in the previous episode, the player count dropped. It also coincided with a mass wave of bot bans. As far as I know, I certainly haven't heard of any player that I've ever talked to or that has talked to me leaving EVE because of Blackout. Doesn't mean that they aren't out there. It's just my circle of friends. I know people who have canceled farming accounts, but still keep playing. And several bot players are gone, obviously. Roaming around, you're not seeing them anymore. Now that Blackout is gone. It took less than 24 hours for those bots to return. I roamed Fraternity Space the day after Blackout, and they were in almost every target system that we went to. Names very similar, ship names the same, all VNIs. As soon as you were in local, they were automatically gone. It was very, very frustrating.
The only plus side I see to this is that CCP is hopefully getting better at identifying the bots, and therefore, like, Blackout being back. Okay, allow me to restart. CCP's renewed focus on botters and RMTers makes me think that the botting problem is going to become less and less of an issue. Also, like, looking at the security dev blog that was released last month, we talked about it. The ISK generated by bots, while seriously significant, pales in comparison to the ISK generated under supercapital umbrellas. And even when CCP announced, hey guys, we're reinstating local, Blackout is ending, in that same speech, they said, we recognize that supercapital umbrellas are a serious problem for the economy and for EVE as a whole, and so we're looking to fix that. So My only hope out of this is that even though CCP's arm was twisted into bringing local back, they'll still be making Chaos Era changes in order to kill supercapital umbrellas.
I mean, okay, that's not going to bring more roamers into the game. It's not going to increase gate traffic.
It could, though, right? Because if your supercapital umbrella is gone, then how do you protect your ratters? You've got to have standing fleets, you've got to have defense fleets, you've got to have gate camps. If those things are up, those are targets which roamers will be attracted to.
I don't know that I fully buy that. I mean, we do a lot of roaming Artemis, and how many times have you seen us catch something that wasn't a Rorqual that got a super capital response? I can't think of one.
Okay, you know what? You have a point. How about this? Never mind. Bad argument. I'm lost. Alec is right. Move on.
I mean, it's not to say that I'm not happy to hear it. You know, I think the signer changes are not perfect, but going in the right direction. But I don't think it addresses the core issue of the level of intelligence available in EVE Online being too high. Particularly for the Defender.
What do you feel about the suggestion to have just regional local? So if anybody's in the region, you can chat with them, but you don't have system-by-system local.
It's better than what we have now.
Okay.
I've also heard suggestions of, like, local that null alliances need to pay for through infrastructure upgrades that can be attacked, similar to infrastructure upgrades. I'm fine with that.
See, I'm not a fan of that, because it really makes null a big boys only club. Because if you're a small guy without the resources to farm up and pay for that infrastructure, then it's harder for you to get the resources to then build up and pay for that infrastructure. It's sort of like you have to have the ISK to make the ISK. And I don't like that. Maybe it's just me being an anti-empire guy, but like I'm always rooting for the underdog, so to speak. And I kind of want it not to be the case where you're better off if you already have ISK than if you're trying to make more ISK now.
Would you be fine if it's free but attackable?
Say what?
Would you be fine if it's free but attackable?
Oh, 100% free but attackable would be fantastic. My recommendation, and it's not fully thought out, so okay, so freaking calm yourselves if you freak out about this, guys. But my recommendation is you stick with the lore that all of the Drifter activity and everything overwhelmed the local functionality. And you say that now local functionality has been restored, but it is critically damaged. And so if activity in any given system reaches some level, then local goes away. Maybe say if the ADM reaches 6, local goes away. Or if such and such an upgrade is installed, such and such many citadels are in the system, local goes away because there's too much activity. What do you think about that?
I could see some possibilities there. Basically, local above a certain size gets too costly for the existing infrastructure and it breaks.
Yeah. So like every single null block staging system, there's going to be no local.
Which could be fun. Then again, I don't know. It's hard to predict how if that would help or hurt, right?
Indeed. And that's,
if you're roaming around into a staging system like that, you're not going to have any idea of like how many people you're facing. But meanwhile, in the smaller systems where you're more likely to get fights you can take, people know you're there and just dock up immediately and won't undock until you leave.
That's one of the things I'm most disappointed with like Blackout and what seems to be the majority of, or a significant portion of the EVE player base's response to it. Like CCP in Hillmore's interview, he's like, listen, for the longest time, we've been trying to predict player behavior and make changes knowing in advance how players will respond. We're now accepting the fact that we can't predict player behavior accurately. So instead, we're going to do our best to do something that seems sensible. We're going to put it out there and watch very carefully what happens and then react more quickly. And that I was super hyped for as a concept for CCP development.
Yeah, for sure.
The player base is just going to respond to any change with, we're just going to quit the game because we don't like this. That does not allow that sort of development style to work. Because there is no sort of player base adapting to the change, CCP seeing, okay, is this an adaptation, something we like, something we don't like? Are we seeing the improvements to whatever statistics we care about? Instead, it's just like, oh crap, there goes our quarterly income again. Let's roll back the changes.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of player-based concern trolling over CCP's finances. Like, I've seen a lot of, but they need all the alt accounts. Like, CCP can't keep this up. We gotta make changes to save them. Yeah, okay, asshole. Like, never mind about the gameplay experience of EVE and whether it's good or bad. You just don't like this change because it affects how much ISK you can make compared to other people. That's all. Then you're not worried about CCP. You don't give a fuck.
Have we had enough bashing on CCP and the player base for Blackout being removed? Or do we have some more in the tank?
I got a little bit more.
All
right, honestly, I could go for a long, long fucking time on this, because I hate being a person like some of the people I've criticized that's so attached to a single feature that, like, they get really upset if it's changed or removed. But to have CCP finally take the step of removing local from null, a huge step people have been asking for many, many, many years, to have experienced how good the game was while that change was live, and now have it removed, it is like pouring alcohol into an open wound. Like, okay, you've been eating shit your whole life. Someone gives you some ice cream. Tastes great. Then they pull it away and give you more shit. Well, now you know what the ice cream tastes like. You can't go back.
I will admit I had the very same reaction to you. And then I stopped and remembered, one, Sinos are changed now. So that's a benefit. And two, EVE was worth playing to me even before I tasted the ice cream. So having that new reference point, while yes, my stupid brain feels like EVE is not worth playing anymore, my stupid brain doesn't actually know what's best for it. EVE is still worth playing.
Alright, I guess it is definitionally still worth playing since I'm still doing it. But goddamn, am I disappointed. Like, It's exhausting. Like, it's emotionally exhausting to have any investment in the health of the game overall. Like, I wish I didn't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely understand that.
But here we are. So, we'll see what CCP does. I doubt this is going to be the end of it. We'll have more patches, they'll have more changes. And we'll see what they do. But EVE slowly losing steam over the course of many years isn't a random event, you know? And CCP is going to have to do something to change that tide and energize its player base. And if a change like removing local, which brung, at least as far as I know, a lot of players back. Yeah, a lot of really good players back. People that quit and really felt it when they quit. Content creators, FCs. If that's not good enough, that is alarming as fuck. Because what it kind of shows is that they're beholden to the botters in a lot of ways, which kind of suggests a lot of the changes that would really help drive it in a new direction are probably not going to either happen or happen and get rolled back. Because at the end of the day, apparently, CCP needs what these botters are providing. And that is very alarming.
I think, like, there is a very tempting argument to be made for the preference of quantity over quality here. Like, I've heard the argument being made when Blackout took effect, and everybody's like, players are going to quit CCP, you shouldn't do this. And then people were like, but other players are coming back, and look at the PCU, and CCP is telling us that their numbers look okay. And then the players retorted, well, the players who are quitting, the big Rorqual multi-boxers, the guys with 20 supers, the guys with a dozen accounts, those are more valuable players to CCP because of the amount of accounts that they have, similar to your thing with the botters. And there's a part of me that wants to then make that comparison between the player who has like 20 accounts, the hardcore crab, the guy with a scalable whatever. Compare that to Olden Eve, where you had the average player with one account, and then the hardcore player, the content creator, the FC, who had multiple accounts because his super capital couldn't dock, but he still needed to bridge people around. He had to have his scouts. He had to have his sinos. Like, the super invested players with the multiple accounts that had an outsized impact on CCP's finances were the PvP players in Eve's history. Now that has shifted, and it's the PvE players. I'm not entirely certain if this is a sound argument, but it's one that is appealing to my dumb brain.
I mean, it makes sense. It's damn disappointing. It really all comes down to, like, what CCP does next. Like, okay, you tried something. You say that it worked, but you rolled it back anyway. Okay, so what's next? I think that next step that they take is going to be really determinant in what Eve's long-term chances are. What lessons is CCP taking away from this, and what direction are they going to go now that their initial one is no longer viable?
Now that Blackout has been rolled back, the CSM summit took place while Blackout was still in effect. I really hope discussion about Blackout removal in the CSM summit is non-NDA'd when the minutes come out. Because that would be a very interesting discussion to read. Just to see some of CCP's thoughts and also some of the representatives' thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been a single-issue voter for nearly anything, but this could be it for CSM. Like, if there were CSMs I voted for that passionately argued against Blackout, I will be very disappointed. And unlikely to vote for them again. Or tell anyone to vote for them again. And I assume that there were a few of them, because I did recommend voting in some folks that are in Null Empires, which strongly benefit from an instant local. Which, you know, argue for your self-interest, I get it.
I mean, that's literally what we're doing here. Our self-interest is no local nullsec. But,
yeah.
Alas, it is not to be.
But there is one place in Eve with no local, wormhole space, and that's where we've spent a whole lot of time this past week.
Well, we certainly tried to spend a lot of time there. It was difficult getting in.
So Noir had its first contract since our triumphant return. We had a short shakedown deployment in Thera, which I guess we'll go back to now that this contract is over. Just trying to get a lot of the new people in Noir up to spec, kind of shake off the rust of some of the returning players, get the new doctrines practiced, all that kind of stuff. It was going all right. And then I got this mail about a contract opportunity from some folks that were in Noir way back when. And it seemed really exciting. I was like, all right, we are in. It turned out to be a much bigger task than I initially thought. So they're like, oh, please save some of our wormhole structures. We had all this get reinforced, some Astra houses. I'm like, yeah, all right. Well, we'll help you out. Well, it turns out it was reinforced by Hardnox, Inner Hell, and Laserhawks, and it was a Keepstar attack, so there were, like, hundreds of pilots involved. We're like, oh, okay. We also really didn't get tons of information about when the timers were until literally the afternoon of. And Artemis, you were online for that because I was at work. How did the initial insertion attempts into the target wormhole go?
Actually, the initial insertion attempt went surprisingly well until I was an idiot. So we found out about the contract, and then I sort of started rage pinging everyone saying, okay, guys, we need to get organized. We need to get in there now because this timer is happening in less than 24 hours. And so we got a bunch of Noir dudes on. I hooked up with some of the Nomex folks and also some of their allies. And at this point, there were Nomex folks in a C4 wormhole with some of their allies rage rolling because they had a C2 static. And so Nomex's hole is a C2 with a high-sec static and a C4, but that was fully, completely controlled by the hostiles, who, as Alec mentioned, were Inner Hell, Laserhawks, and Hardnox. And so we had to find a way in. there were two options for that. Rage rolling, which is what some folks were doing, which is where they rage rolled a C2 to hopefully end up in the Nomex hole. What I try to do is utilize our advantage of having Thera. And Thera has multiple high sec statics, which means it is always connected to multiple high sec systems at a time. And so I thought, the Nomex wormhole has a high sec entrance to it all the time. I bet you that if we rolled that thing enough, or rather forced the hostiles to roll that thing enough, then we could get an entrance really freaking close to Thera and manage to get everybody into the hole before they could close the entrance. And so that's what we tried to do. The first time, actually, we realized that it wasn't Inner Hell on hole control on our initial attempt. It was Laserhawks. And Laserhawks was being lazy. And they didn't have, like, the same ships that Inner Hell was using in order to make the rules, like, perfect and consistent. And they also didn't have a full, like, defense fleet on the hull to catch people. And so we get there, they weren't expecting us to be showing up. And so we jumped in about 10 or so pilots and interceptors, got them all to the Keepstar, and then the call was made, we handed out armor Lokis and armor Guardians, and we're going to go try and establish hull control and basically hold that hull open to let more and more pilots get in as we could ping them, get them online, get them in fleet, get them in the hull. Because that's really what we needed. They had defense ships galore inside this wormhole. They just didn't have pilots. So we tried to do that. We warped to the hull. We landed zero. And all of the HK, or pardon me, the Laserhawks dudes, they scatter. Because, of course, they're freaking rolling megathrons. What are they going to do? Unfortunately, we had three Guardians and one Loki that landed on the hull initially. We ended up with, like, four Guardians and four Lokis by the time Laserhawks landed on the hull. And the initial Laserhawks fleet, it was, like, six or seven Slipnirs, two Scimitars, and Osprey. That was the first group that landed. And like, okay, we can take this. We can break that Osprey. Then it's just two Simis. We have Newts on the Lokis, if I remember right, because they're Ham Lokis. We can do this, because they were landing at zero. And so I've called primary on the Osprey. I say, everybody approach the hole, just in case we need to bug out. We can do that. Also, we want to get tackle on everything we can. And then about 30 seconds later, the rest of the Laserhawks fleet landed. And they ended up in less than 5 minutes, they had formed up a 30 to 40 man Slipnir fleet with more Logi than we had Lokis.
Ooh.
This is where I made a big mistake. So what I should have done is realize that we are in AB armor high HP ships. They have no EWAR whatsoever. And they don't have enough Slipnirs to volley us. So if we orbit the hole, they can't kick us out, but they also can't roll it. So what the call I should have made was to have us stay on the hole, kill as many Sabers as we can, haze stuff, be a pain, and stay there for as long as possible to prevent them from rolling that hole. Instead, I panicked, jumped everybody out of the hole, said, okay guys, stay here. Bring as many people in, be warpins, anybody who has a scepter, go in, and that was it. We then took the Lokis and the Guardians of Jita, dropped them off, and started the chain of forcing the hostiles, Laserhawks at this point, to roll the hole, and we try and get to it from Thera. That went for a few hours. Basically what happened was we got a number of alts into system that we could use to force them to roll the hole and also figure out where the entrance was. But as time went on, all those scouts kept getting rolled out. Basically, as Laserhawks paid more attention, they got more people around, better rollers, things like that. And especially once Inner Hell took over the rolling. Like, they would roll the hole before your interceptor could get back in from the high sec side. It was nuts.
That's kind of at the point where I was on. I saw Artemis, like, going crazy on Thera. And then we figured out a new strategy, which was to follow their pilots around as they tried to insert dudes. And so we had Inties shadowing their Inties to try to make it in, because they kept kicking out our Inties inside the hole that were trying to get information on where the system was. We had a couple close calls, but we just were not able to get in time. We literally had one where we warped on grid. The wormhole was there, and then despawned before we could click it. It was,
My host highlight, I'm going to use it a bit early, because it has to do in this time frame. So, it was the morning of the Keepstar timer, and Inner Hell was in charge of rolling. At this point, we didn't have any alts in the hole or anything, so we couldn't figure out where the high sec went to. All we could do was see the wormhole graphic itself, which shows you the nebula of the region of the system it's in. And the pilot who was inside the wormhole who could scout but not jump out knew that it was the Forge. He said, okay, this is the Forge. And we knew that they were leaving it open for some reason. The rest of them, they had just been continuously rage rolling for a while now, like at least 2 hours. And so we figured, all right, this thing's got to be freaking close to Jita. They've got to be planning to haul stuff. And sure enough, soon 9 DSTs warp and jump through the hole. We're like, okay, guys, everybody get out of Thera, get into Jita, and start looking for these DSTs, start looking for Inner Hell pilots, and start scanning around for this hole. And eventually we found it, and so what we decided to do was put everybody inside of a back-end system, so to speak, out of the route between Jita and the hole. And we waited to get as many pilots as we could. I think we ended up getting 6 or so pilots stacked up there before we knew the DSTs were going to be on their way back. And so then we blitzed towards the hole. We got like 5 or 6 pilots into it at that point in time. And then Inner Hell panicked and closed the hole. And the reason that my screenshot is my favorite screenshot ever is because in this screenshot, hang on, I want to pull it up so I get every single detail here. We have, if you jump into a wormhole that's collapsed, but you jump into it at the same server tick, you get a message that says the wormhole was collapsed and spat you back out, and you get traffic control. So that's what happened to me here, right? I clicked jump on the wormhole as Inner Hell rolled it. So I have the traffic control notification in my screenshot. We also have the 9 DSTs, the impels, which were carrying the Boosh Raven fleet that was later used to kill the Keepstar in them. But we managed to force Inner Hell to roll the hole before they could get all of these DSTs and the Raven fleet back into the hole. Those things just landed on grid. You've got me there and my freaking little buzzard. And then I've got all of my other accounts, one of them up with locator agents because I was doing locators on their rollers in order to find out where the entrance system is without having to jump somebody through it and potentially lose that pilot from the hole. And then we've got like characters scanning in Thera and being warp-ins on wormholes. It's just my favorite screenshot ever. And like the cherry on top is down in Fleet Chat. I've got just people saying, hey, I made it in and their insta lockers didn't catch me. Plus 1 combat pilot. Oh man, I'm so happy.
That was a hell of an operation, Art. I was really impressed. Your dedication to getting into that hole was something else.
Two rolls later, they got a wormhole 2 jumps from Jita, and the impels got in. We got in like 2 or 3 more pilots on that one too, because they left it open until the impels got in that time. They didn't close it immediately once they saw us. And so the impels did get in, the Boosh Raven fleet did get in, but we got in some pilots too. So I'm still kind of proud on that one.
And the main time where we're able to force our way in, and I guess this can take us to the actual Keepstar fight itself. Keepstar fight begins to happen. Attackers put their fleet on the field. The rolling team is still there. They are slightly distracted, but not quite enough. That's when we have a couple more close calls. And I managed to convince the Nomex guys that, like, they need to... I mean, they have a couple options. One of them is to just, like, take the fight in the Keepstar and do the best they can. They could try to send some ships to destroy the hull roller so we can get our pilots in. Artemis, how many pilots do we have outside the hull at that point between us and the Nomex guys?
There were a good 15 heartbeats in TeamSpeak. So we had separated the pilots who were trying to get into the hull and the pilots who had combat tunes in the hull being handed caps and things like that into 2 separate channels. And there were at least 15 heartbeats in TeamSpeak trying to move in. As far as the number of tunes they had, multiply that by like 2 or 3, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say about 30-ish.
Yeah.
So we're like, and they floated the idea of, well, we could try to take the fight on the wormhole itself and hold it open, which is the most dangerous of the three, I would say. Turned out they didn't have enough subcap characters in the hole to take a shot at destroying the rollers. So first they were just going to do the Keepstar fight, and then I don't know what happened, because I was in the other channel with you, but at some point they made the call to take a fight on the wormhole itself. And so they tricked, or I guess trapped, one of the rollers outside the hole, the Panther, which was doing the closing. And while they had rolled that hole for us, it meant that the rolling team was short one, and we found the other wormhole. We sped over there as fast as possible, and this time the Nomex guys warped their defending fleet onto the hole itself to make sure it would stay open. We were able to insert the pilots at that point, and we raced over to the Keepstar to try to get ships. Now, upon landing in the Keepstar, I took a look at its hit point percentage, which was closing down to about 10%. It was maybe slightly higher at that point. And even though this pitched cap battle was happening on the wormhole, there was still a cloud of stealth bombers around this Keepstar hitting it, and the repair timer was not paused. So, I said that anyone that came here in an interceptor with missiles on it, or guns, should stick with me, everybody else dock and get ships as planned. And then my host highlight, we went to town on some of those bombers. I killed about 4 or 5 of them, along with Andy Astronaut, before they started getting wise to the fact that we were doing this and started warping the bombers away as we got close to them. We were able to pick off a few more over the course of the fight, but it just wasn't enough to get the repair timer started up again, and it had like 30 minutes on it anyway. They finished the thing off by warping their Bushraven fleet back onto the field along with some Nightmares and picked up the kill. The actual explosion was pretty spectacular. I've never seen a Keepstar in a wormhole die before, and stuff went everywhere. Cans, ships, you name it. And these guys were very preoccupied with picking that stuff up. So we managed to get a few more skirmishes on some of their ships as they were spread out trying to get all this stuff. So we picked off another stealth bomber, a Saber. Artemis, you tried going to town with a Cormorant fleet that eventually got caught, but you sowed quite a lot of confusion and disruption before that happened.
Yeah, and we even, like, we used the Cormorant fleet to get more pilots into the hole, because the Keepstar was the first major timer that anybody cared about that came out. But we still had other Fortizar timers and stuff that we were considering trying to defend later. And so we decided, okay, well, a bunch of the pilots had died throughout the battle, and we still wanted to get them back in to make a second last stand, so to speak, if we decided that was the best course of action and if the ships were available. After all, like, the Keepstar just died. So what we did was we went with the Cormorant fleet, and I should have started doing it sooner. The first thing I did was go to the wormhole and try and get hull control. And we held hull control on the hull, we forced out their rollers, we kept the hull open and got some pilots in. That lasted about 2 to 3 minutes before an Ardy Loki fleet warped to the hull. And it's like, okay, Cormorant fleet can't stay here. And so then we went off to the, back to the Fortizar to restage and figure out, all right, can we reship to another Doctrine? What can we do? And we shot a bubble for a little bit to sort of make maneuvering and system easier. And then we thought, hang on, there are a bunch of these looters back at the Keepstar. Alec was calling it out. And so I was like, all right, well, let's take the Cormorant fleet back over there. And sure enough, we got there, we started killing some stuff, and then the Loki fleet arrived back again. And so then we bounced back over to the wormhole, held wormhole control for a little bit longer, and then the Loki fleet got in. But we were consistently just bouncing back and forth for a little bit, getting more and more pilots in while also hazing looters and things like that. It was something I should have done sooner, but something that worked out well until we were on the Keepstar grid and I didn't see a Saber that warped in and bubbled us all. And I remember it very vividly, just one of my fleet members saying, we're bubbled. I'm like, what? Like,
yeah,
there's a Saber on top of us. I'm like, what? Everybody warp, go, burn out of the bubble. Overheat your prop mods, rest in peace.
Yeah, I was in an Inti at the time. Felt bad. I was trying to catch more bombers and Sabers, and you kept fleet warping everyone. I kept having to control space. That's all I remember. And then I was like, oh, we're bubbled. I'm like, wait, what? How did that happen? Because you've been fleet warping people all over the place. And then I guess the Saber probably got a probe in on you from the sound of it and dropped a bubble on the whole fleet.
Yeah, I really should have recorded everything. The problem was I was running so many accounts, it just wasn't, my system probably couldn't have handled it. I really want to know how that saber got us, because I did not see it coming. Maybe it was cloaked? I don't know. Maybe I'm just bad at this game, that's probably the case. In any case, the Keepstar died, the Cormorant fleet was successful in killing looters, was successful in getting more pilots back into the hole, although we lost some pilots when the Cormorants died. And then I had to go to bed. So what happened after I went to bed? Is it just sort of everybody coalesced in the Fortizar plan for tomorrow? What happened?
Yep, that was the idea. Basically, after you left and with the pilots we had lost from the Cormorant fleet, we really didn't have any critical mass to do much of anything. We couldn't kill looters before they got help. We couldn't harass hull control. I felt like putting any more pilots out in the field would just be needless risk, so I had everybody dockski. And we started planning for tomorrow. But as it turned out, tomorrow never came. When it came time for the Fortizar timer, the defender numbers were minute compared to the attacker numbers. And I think the Fortizar was, in general, a much more favorable timer for the European players, of which Innerhell and Hardnox certainly have a majority. So not too much happened. I think the call was made to just let it die. And with that dead, so died the rest of the structures in the wormhole, bringing an end to our contract. It was an interesting one. I think the highlights for me were certainly Artemis's, I would say, heroic FCing effort, trying to get people in. You went for a long time, really hard. You got a lot of positive compliments from people in and outside the corp alike on that front. It's a shame we couldn't have done more to save that Keepstar. But even if we'd gotten everyone in our insertion party in there and on the ball, I still don't know if it would have been enough against the numbers they were facing. I certainly would have loved to have tried, but we did what we could.
Yeah, I was really happy to get back into the wormhole, because Alec mentioned at the top of the show that we have some old Noir members who are in Nomex, Anomalous Existence, the corporation who owned the Keepstar. I was actually in Nomex before I joined Noir, and I joined Noir because of Nomex. So I joined Nomex because I wanted to do the wormhole thing, and they happened to be a wormhole mercenary group. And then I got the idea of being a mercenary in my head and sort of got bored with the wormhole space things, like, huh, I listened to the Declarations of War podcast, Alex seems pretty cool, I like this whole way the Noir sounds, and then so that's when I joined Noir. Also, I knew of some people in Nomex at the time who had been in Noir previously. So it was like, Nomex is the reason that I joined Noir, and then I'm coming back as a Noir pilot to help out Nomex. It felt pretty good.
Yeah, that's awesome. And speaking of those Noir members, shout out to Cather and Epigene. Really awesome players. And it was so cool to be talking to them again. And glad we could get involved in some fun.
I was really glad to see a post by one of the Nomex guys to r/Eve, where he sort of had a cinematic video where he was sort of recording the fight as stuff was happening. And it's a really genuinely good video from a cinematic perspective. And then also it was a really long post sort of explaining why the Keepstar was there. You know, this is a C2 wormhole. You can't build super capitals. There's really no reason to have something bigger than a Fortizar. Maybe a Sotio if you're an industrial specialist thing, but Nomex is not that. In any case, it was just because they wanted to build a Keepstar. And they have a whole long story about why it was named, why it is. And the thing at the end, which really got me, that I was happy to see, is that it seems a lot of the corp aren't taking this too hardly. Like, yes, all of their structures are dead. Yes, a lot of their ISK is gone. Their assets are gone. But they knew that risk going into wormhole space. Like, in wormhole space, there is no asset safety. They knew that when they moved in. They signed up for this. And so they're going to continue playing. They're going to keep doing their thing. And Nomex isn't dead. And so that is honestly what I'm happiest about.
That's really good to see. Well, while all that was going on, we found out later that about 3 hours prior to the Keepstar fight itself, Innit had defended against an invasion, or excuse me, Hardnox had defended against an invasion attempt from Innit in their own capital wormhole. And what a bloodbath. Looked like an attempt at insertion of a bunch of afterburner bombers and support ships. Hard Knocks defended with everything they had. We're talking Capital Dreadnoughts, Lashaks, Balgorns, Lokis, you name it. And the Butcher's bill was quite high. Let's see, looks like 131 bill lost by Hard Knocks against 17 bill lost by the attackers. However, Hard Knocks gets the victory here because they forced the attacking fleet away and they didn't have enough critical mass left inside the hull to continue with the invasion, which probably would have been much more costly than 131 bill should initiative have fully gotten in there, because I think, you know, I mean, it would probably be a good fight, but initiative has the numbers to challenge them, certainly.
Yeah, and I was talking to a member of the initiative, actually, and he was describing the fight sort of as it was happening. And it appears that at the end of the fight, Hard Knocks had gained wormhole control, and so there was really no way in or out for the initiative fleet. And so at the end, even though they still had a fully functional fleet, they knew that they weren't going to really accomplish anything, so they just warped back in at zero and, like, YOLO'd in. So a lot of the losses weren't actually due to the fight itself. It was just the suicide afterwards getting home.
That's hilarious. Well, speaking of losses, Artemis, a rather high-profile loss.
Yeah, this is something that I spotted just, like, checking Z-Kill as I get home, like you do if you're an Eve nerd. And it looks like Von Hull is back. If you are a listener to the Less Than 10 podcast like I am, you may have been rather downhearted because of Von Hull's comments about his gameplay and how it was affected by Blackout. Well, he's back now. Maybe because Blackout is gone, maybe not. And he killed a fiend. The fiend belonged to Zoxus. He was a member of Snuffed Out. And it, the typical thing, this time it was interesting because Von Hull didn't drop a carrier. He dropped his Sin. But the one thing I noticed is that they definitely used a Vigilant to slow down the Fiend, because the Fiend is, it's special because it's an Alliance Tournament ship. It's also special because it's really strong in just about every possible way. It's a heavy interdiction cruiser, but it's also meant to be from the Sanchez Nation, which means it has the same bonuses, or has bonuses akin to a Phantasm. So it goes at micro warp drive speeds with an afterburner, but of course it's an AT ship, so that's kicked up to notch 11. And then it's got crazy high damage, great range. It also has the Hick points, which means it can use the Hick scram, which is basically just a 20-kilometer scram. So you've got a really tanky ship that's really fast, really low sig, unscrammable, that also has a 20-kilometer scram with great damage and protection. So the Fiend is just an all-around phenomenal ship. It's like one of my favorite ships in this game. And another one bites the dust.
RIP.
I'm kind of disappointed the lack of Abyssal Mons. It's just pretty buck standard dead space across the board with only a single purple. So I've definitely clicked that needs more purple button on Z-Kill a couple of times.
Speaking of needing more purple, our poll, who was the better singer during Singing in Stations on Twitch? Edged it out by one vote of three votes. So I will take it as a scientific win. Now, if you're not following this, guys, Singing in Stations every Tuesday, or at least most Tuesdays, it's gotten pretty funny, I'm not going to lie. We have discovered the duet feature on Twitch Sings, which has other streamers doing part of the song, and then if you come in and sing, then you do the other half of the song. And there were some really quality singers out there and some interesting personalities, and we got in on the action. I want to give a shout out to Bat Sam, one of the best singers I've heard on Twitch so far, and we did a couple songs with her, including Let It Go and A Whole New World, both of which are up on my personal Twitch channel, twitch.tv/alec. But if you want to catch it live, make sure you're following twitch.tv/talkinginstations.
You make it sound like so much fun. I feel like I'm going to have to find a Tuesday at some point to come on Singing in Stations.
Yes.
And maybe join in on the singing.
Yes, do it. We are looking for more EVE personalities, so if you're an FC, CEO, or content creator, and you want to get in on this show, please reach out to me. I would love to have more voices on the show. It just increases the fun factor by quite a bit, so please reach out.
Do you have to know the songs before you come on and sing? Like, I don't... I get this as kind of like karaoke, but...
It is exactly karaoke.
Songs I don't know, because I'm culturally sheltered, so to speak. Is that a problem, or does that make it better?
Depends how you play it. I feel like you could make it better. I had to do a jazz version of... what was the jazz rendition we did? Hold on, I'm looking this up. It was Hakuna Matata Jazz Edition with a streamer called Giraffed Unleashed. So, like, you could really put your own spin on it however you want to, but you've got to commit. That is my advice. Whatever your concept, you've got to go 100% and have no shame.
Alright. This singing in stations happening, well, I guess it depends on your work, doesn't it? If you just get slammed, then it's not happening, huh?
Yeah, but most of the time it's happening. Like, next week it's definitely happening.
Alright. I'm gonna take a look at my schedule, and I'm gonna pencil in a singing in station session.
Woo! That's Tuesday, 8 p.m. Pacific time, for you guys out there.
For the record, I just want to warn any of the listeners of Declarations of War who happen to turn in, I haven't sung in at least 15 years.
Not even in the shower.
Not even in the shower. Like, I am not a singer. I was never a singer. In high school, I went to a very small private Christian high school. I was the only person who refused to be a member of choir. They did not know how to deal with it, because they had never had someone not be in choir before. I'm that much of a not singer. So this is going to be interesting.
Well, you can't not tune in now, listeners. That's going to be epic. Okay, I already gave my shout-outs. Artemis, you have a shout-out?
Yeah, my shout-out goes to Theo something or other. I forget his name. I just called him Theo the whole time because that was the start of it. He was a member of Hint. And he was there in an interceptor with a virtue clone scanning for me for hours on end and just generally being an awesome prober and an awesome dude and really dedicated. So shout out to you, Theo, and rest in peace your virtues. It's kind of funny, like, he was in a probing scepter. He wasn't insta-warp, though. Nonetheless, for the first while, for the first couple of hours, it was Laserhawks doing the hull control, and they couldn't figure out how to catch him. They didn't have somebody with a good enough ping to the Eve server to catch him. And so they ended up, what ended up forcing him to stop scanning the first time was they brought out smart bombing devoters.
Ooh.
And so he goes to warp in and get the high sec and suddenly gets smart bombed into hull. He's like, nope, 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 nope. But eventually, Inner Hell takes over the hull control. He starts scanning again, and Inner Hell had pilots who have good enough connection to the server, which, pro tip, if you didn't know, sub-2-second align works 99% of the time, but for characters who have a good enough connection to the server, if you click warp on the wrong end of where the server rounds what is a tick and what is the next tick, they can catch you. So you'll see some people camping pipes. Specifically, Wardeckers do this on, like, the Horde pipes, whatever Horde's route to Jita is. You'll see Goonswarm often there with an insta-locker who will catch even shuttles and pods and things like that. Because it is possible if you have a good enough ping, and if the person who is warping is unlucky with Eve rounding server ticks. And, unfortunately, Theo got unlucky.
Well, he died doing what he loved, probing down wormholes. That's it, guys. Head to declarationofwar.com to participate in this episode's show poll. NAR recruiting, as I said, we could use a few more good folks. We've actually had a impressive amount of interest in NAR's return. I knew we'd get a couple people coming back just because of the announcement hype. I was not anticipating how many people we got. It's really great to see. This was our first contract. We're going to be doing bigger and better going forward. Shake out all the kinks and get back into fighting form, stuff like that. And we're not going to stop, baby. We're going to go all the way to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a lyric to a song I'm supposed to recognize?
No, it just sounded cool.
Okay.
Wherever you are and whoever you're flying with, good hunting, listeners.